I was looking at the book of Ephesians a couple of days ago, and I actually thought this morning when I was getting up, I thought I was reading in the book of Philippians. And so I'm reading it also, but this doesn't sound like Philippians. And I looked and realized, oh, I'm back in Ephesians once again. But I did see this, and I wanted to share this with you. This is from Ephesians chapter 3. I'm going to start reading in verse number 16. And this is really as Paul is praying for the Ephesians. I almost said Philippians again. As he is praying for the Ephesians in this letter that he's writing to the Ephesians. And in the Amplified Bible, this is where the prayer sounds. Starting in verse number 16. Speaking about God, as he's praying for the Ephesians, and this is a prayer that you can receive for yourself as well. Because the Word of God is a promise. God's not a respecter of people. The things that we see here, we can apply each one of these things to our lives. So hear God in these words that Paul prayed. May He, God, grant you out of the rich treasury of His glory to be strengthened and reinforced with mighty power in the inner man by the Holy Spirit, Himself indwelling your innermost being and personality. May Christ, through your faith, actually dwell, settle down, abide, make His permanent home in your hearts. May you be rooted deeply in the love and founded securely in love, that you may have the power and be strong to apprehend and to grasp with all the saints, God's devoted people, the experience of that love. What is the breadth, the length, the height, and the depth of it? And then in verse number 19, he says, that you may really come to know, practically, through experience for yourselves, the love of Christ, which far surpasses mere knowledge without experience, that you may be filled throughout your whole being unto the fullness of God, you may have the richest measure of the divine presence and become a body wholly filled and founded with God Himself. What an awesome prayer that is for Paul. And it's kind of neat because even last night we had a Bible study, and we were talking last night in the Bible study about the love of God and how that love, when you read the book of John, or we were reading 1 John, John so often in his writings, you can hear in John that John knows and understands the love of Jesus Christ. Out of all the people that Jesus spent time with when he was here on this earth, John seems to have the best revelation of the love of Jesus Christ. You read his book, his gospel, and you see love as such a strong theme. He understood the love of Jesus Christ, and he understood the love of Jesus Christ for him personally. It was a personal thing. It was part of his fellowship. It was part of his relationship. So many times you see that word love in the gospel of John. You see it in 1 John as well. He understood and had that revelation of the love of Jesus Christ. That's why John, throughout his gospel, so often refers to himself as not I, John, but he says, the one whom Jesus loved. He wasn't saying that Jesus loved him more than any of the other disciples, but he was saying, expressing, he understood the depth of that love, as Paul says here, the breadth, the length, the height, and the depth of that love. John had an understanding of what that love of Christ was. And so we see Paul talking about these same things here as he's praying for the Ephesians. So in verse 16, when he says, may God grant you out of the rich treasury of his glory to be strengthened and reinforced with mighty power in the inner man by the Holy Spirit, himself indwelling in your innermost being and personality. So again, it's important for us to remember that as individuals, as people, who you are today, you know, there's three parts to who you are: your spirit, your soul, and your body. We understand the body. That's easy for us to understand. We see that. We experience that. We feel that. It's through our body that our senses, our sight, our hearing, our touch, you know, all those physical senses, our taste, our smell, all those physical senses, that's part of the physical body. And our physical senses perceive only the physical, only that which is of the flesh, that which is of this natural. That's what the body is. We understand the body because we can see it. You know, we experience everything through the body in this natural world. But we're also soul. We've talked about that. Soul is that part of you that's eternal. It's that unique part of you, created uniquely. It's the unique creation of who you are by God Himself. And it's eternal. And it's your mind. It's your intellect. It's your personality. It's your will. It's that eternal part of you. And then there's that spirit. And the spirit is the part of you that before you accepted the work of Jesus Christ, the sacrificial work of Jesus Christ, it's that part of you that we often say was dead. Perhaps a better way to really see it and perceive it is, it's that part of you that was unplugged, no longer connected to God the Father, was separated because of sin. So we say dead because you didn't have the life of God the Father. You didn't have the life of Jesus Christ. But there still was that spiritual essence, that spiritual essence of who you were. You know, the Bible does tell us that without there is no life except for the Spirit. So your spirit was spiritually dead, but we can understand that it was just unplugged. It was dead to Christ. It was dead because there was no relationship with Jesus Christ. But when you accepted that sacrificial work of Jesus Christ, your spirit was made new. When we say we're a new creation, a new creature in Jesus Christ, that's what we're talking about. Because that spirit which had been dead in the spiritual sense, dead before, is now alive. And it says that this then is the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. The Spirit of God Himself dwells within us. This is the presence of Jesus Christ in you. So you are spirit, soul, and body. And what Paul is saying here is that God grants us out of the rich treasury of His glory. Now think about this. This is what God has for you. Out of the rich storehouse of His glory and who He is, God has granted for you to be strengthened, to be reinforced with mighty power. Whose power is it? It's God's power in you. To be reinforced with mighty power in the inner man. The inner man is talking about the soul, which again is your mind, your personality, your intellect, your will. But the inner man is more than just the soul. It's also the spirit. It's those eternal parts of who you are. You know, the heart, and there's different verses that even talk about this, but the heart, or demonstrate this. But the heart, when it talks about the heart, it's the soul, but it's also the spirit with the soul. It's those two things together. And the spirit, your spirit is alive in Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit dwells within you. So Paul is saying to you today that out of the storehouses, out of the rich treasury of God's glory, which even that is beyond what we can even fathom, there is no part of our small, little, natural minds, our limited, finite minds, that can even really begin to understand what that rich glory, what that storehouse, what that rich treasury of His glory even looks or feels like. That's beyond the realm of our limited minds to even comprehend. But out of that, He has granted for you to be strengthened. For you to be strengthened today, how many of you feel like you need to be strengthened? How many of you feel like you're not strong today? How many of you feel like you are overwhelmed by life and the circumstances of life? How many of you feel like life is running over you and there's nothing you can do about it? You're weak. You're helpless. This is the way that you feel. Well, Paul's reminding us that out of the rich treasury of the glory of God, He's provided for you, granted for you to be strengthened today. That means through Him, and that goes on to talk about the Holy Spirit in you, to be strengthened and reinforced. You feel kind of wobbly today? Did you feel like yesterday you got knocked around so much by life that you're a little bit stunned today? You know, maybe walking around a little bit wobbly, a little bit unsure, a little bit shaken because of the circumstances of life? Paul's reminding you today that out of that rich treasury of all that God has, He's provided for you to be strengthened and to be reinforced. You know, in the Old Testament, it talks about, in the book of Psalms, it talks about how God put spiritually, if you will, God put a rod of iron in His back, made Him strong and firm. This is exactly, you know, that was true for Joseph, who didn't have the Holy Spirit dwelling in him. How much more true is it for you today? You may not feel like it, but you can't go by your feelings. You see, your feelings will not give you a sense of what's taking place in the spiritual realm. Your feelings are not the perceptions of the spiritual realm. If you say, well, I just don't feel God's strength in my life, well, your feelings are not going to perceive or sense those things. Those things are from the spiritual realm. Your feelings do not perceive those things. So if you say today, well, okay, that all sounds good. Everything you're saying, Todd, sounds good. But I just don't feel that. I don't feel strengthened. I don't feel reinforced. This is where the faith part of it comes in. Because you're not going to feel stronger. You have to know that that strength is there. And when you know that that strength is there, all of a sudden you're going to become aware of the reality of that strength that is in you. You may not feel reinforced, but if you know that it's true, if you know the Word is true, and if this is what the Word says, and it's what the Word says, I just read it to you, if this is what the word says, and you know it and believe it, you may not feel reinforced, but when you believe it, you're going to experience and you're going to have that confidence and that assurance, I am reinforced. And you know what? That's going to be manifested in your life. That strength and that reinforcement will become evident to you and to others. It's not based on feelings. It's based on what you know. It's based on the faith of what you know about the Word of God. So that God's going to grant you out of this rich treasury to be strengthened and reinforced. How? By His mighty power. You don't have to go through your day and try to figure out how to solve all the problems, how to solve all the issues. You don't have to solve all the problems. You don't have to overcome everything. You know, spiritual warfare, part of what spiritual warfare is summed up for us in James. You know, James, I think it's James 4:7, when he says, submit yourself to God and resist the devil. You don't have to go defeat the devil. You don't have to go out there and try to defeat the devil. He's already defeated. Jesus did that for you already. All we have to do is enforce what He's already done by standing. It's by standing on the Word. It's by believing, regardless of how you feel today, it's by believing that you are strong in Him, that you are reinforced, that it is His mighty power in you, regardless of whether you feel that or not. And if you keep saying to yourself, but I don't feel that, I don't feel that way, stop saying that because you're not going to feel it. Feelings will not perceive the things of the spiritual realm. Because you don't feel it doesn't mean it's not there. This is where the faith comes in. You have to believe it because it's what the Word says. This is how you resist the devil. This is how you enforce the defeat that has already been put upon him by Jesus Christ. And so that power, the power of God Himself, the power of Jesus Christ is what strengthens you today. You can overcome anything today. You can be reinforced and strong in Him today. You are, whether you realize it or not. Now, if I don't believe that, if I don't in faith believe that and stand like I'm strong and stand like I'm reinforced, well, then I probably will get run over. I'll probably get beat up and knocked around again today. Because I'm standing ultimately then in my own strength and my own power, as opposed to the power of Jesus Christ that is in me. It's His mighty power, the inner man, in the inner man. So again, this is talking about the inside of you. It's the power of the Holy Spirit in you, in your soul, through the Holy Spirit, through your spirit. It's the Holy Spirit, which is in you, through your spirit. It is the Holy Spirit in you, in conjunction with, now this is where your decision has to come and take place, with your soul, with your mind, with your personality. You have to decide. When you decide, I'm going to believe what the Word says, not how I feel, I'm going to believe what the Word says. When you make that decision, you're lining yourself up with the Spirit that is in you. Then your innermost man, then the heart of who you are, the Spirit and the soul, those eternal parts, being together in one, working together in agreement, you're going to experience that mighty power in you. That's the Holy Spirit Himself who's indwelling. It says indwelling you in the innermost part of your being. And personality. Verse number 17 says, may Christ through your faith actually dwell, settle down, abide, make His permanent home in your hearts. May you be rooted deep in love and founded securely in His love. Now I started this all off by talking about the love of Jesus Christ and the understanding, how John had an understanding of that. Paul is trying to impart this to you and I also here in these words, because the Holy Spirit dwells within you. Now again, remember, your heart is the combination of your soul and your spirit together. That's the innermost part. That's when it talks about the innermost part or the heart. So your soul and that spirit which is made alive, this is the innermost man. When your soul, your will, your thoughts, your mind, your personality agrees with, believes, accepts, agrees with the Word of God, which is right there with you in the innermost man, when it's in unity, it's together with the Holy Spirit, you're going to see that power experienced. And this is how you get. This is, may Christ, through your faith, that is through your deciding to believe what the Word says, not what you experience, not what you feel, may Christ, through your faith, that is your soul, agreeing with the Spirit that is in you. May Christ, through your faith, actually dwell. Okay, just think about this, and I'll close for today. When your soul, your mind, your personality, your will, your intellect, that's who your soul is. When your soul, in faith, makes a decision to not believe what the body, not believe what the natural world, not believe what you feel, but when your soul, in faith, says, I believe the Word, not what I feel. I believe what I read and what the Word says. That is your innermost man. That is your soul coming into agreement with the Spirit of God that is in you. And this is what causes Christ Himself to actually dwell, settle down, abide, make His permanent home in your hearts. This is when you will experience. This is when you will dwell. If you've been looking for the love of Christ and you haven't really fully understood the love of Christ, you've never really comprehended that, this is the step to take to really experience that love of Christ that maybe you've said, I don't really understand or I don't really feel the love of Christ. This is the first step in your soul. Agree. By faith, believe the Word of God, which puts you in agreement with the Spirit, and this is allowing Christ Himself to settle in you so that you can be rooted deep in that love.